Welcome to the Christian View Podcast. My name is Angela Roberts-Jones, and I am excited that you have tuned in. My hope is that you will be enlightened and encouraged by this view. Let's have a talk. Hello out there. Welcome to the very first episode of the Christian View. I am so excited that you joined this conversation. It is my hope and prayer that you will be encouraged, equipped, and empowered on your journey to maximize your potential and fulfill your God-ordained destiny. So let me give you a brief introduction and a backstory as to how this came up, how this came about. I first conceived the vision for this podcast about 10 or more years ago after watching an episode of The View on ABC with Barbara Walters and her co-host Whoopi Goldberg and others. They were commenting on various hot topics that were trending in the news, magazines and in the entertainment industry, politics, etc. Immediately, I had a vision of sharing my view on the various topics that they were commenting on. But only my goal is not to entertain, but to have a real conversation about real issues and real answers that touch the root of what we face as individuals. But this view is from a Christian perspective. You see, as Christians, we don't live in a vacuum. We don't live in isolation. We are not secluded or excluded from the world. We have a view and we have a voice. Now, I don't profess to have any new revelation. Truthfully, there is nothing new under the sun. But if you are listening today, I believe that this is just what you need for this day, for this season. So in future episodes, I will periodically have special guests to share with us. Who knows? It just might be you. Because this is the first episode of The Christian View, and it is the start of a brand new year, I want to talk to you about change. That is, change your narrative, change your life. I was actually talking with a young man a few weeks ago who's really my spiritual son, Marquez Hughley, who is founder of Crown Life Seminars and also the founder and editor of Jaggari Online Magazine. He's also assisting me in producing this podcast. But anyway, we had this conversation and he said to me, many people want to change, but they really don't know how. You know, I was listening and I reflected on that and I totally agree. From my observation and my experience, and even personal experience, that is really the truth. You know, many people make changes to daily routines, food consumption, etc., but it doesn't last. They find themselves going right back to the same old ways. So, I believe that our conversation today will lead you to effective change, which comes from changing your narrative. You see, everyone has a story. What's yours? So the first major question to address is, do you want to change? Do you think you need to change? Do you view the possibility of change as a negative step back or a positive leap forward? Are you willing to do what it takes to change? You see, the reason why people even desire to change is because they want a life change. And making a change can literally propel your life forward in ways beyond imagination. See, we're in the first month of a new year, and many people are making New Year's resolutions and anticipate a change for the better. But what about an evolution in your life? That is, a transformational change that's not bound to a calendar year. You know, really, God is the author of change. His desire for you is to grow, to stretch, to be prosperous, to use your gifts and talents to be successful in life, but more importantly, to be in fellowship with Him and a light to the world. So let me mention also, this is important, that my inspiration for the content of this episode came also as I watched CBS This Morning last week. So one of the guests spoke of how they were inspired by the life of James Baldwin. Of course, I have heard of the African-American poet and writer James Baldwin, who is one of the most prolific literary figures of all times. He was highly acclaimed for his insights on race, spirituality, and humanity. But as I Googled his life, I ran across a website which read, "Change your narrative, change your destiny." This headline really arrested my attention. As I continued to read further, I learned that in an interview with Margaret Mead entitled "Rap on Race," James Baldwin addressed the fact that real change becomes possible only when we change the cultural narrative. In other words, his life's story was written for him, so to speak, based on the statistics that this young black kid would never succeed, but would remain in poverty, uneducated, unexposed to the world, never to achieve the gift that God had put in him. But listen to his narrative. Interestingly, Baldwin was born to a young single mother by the name of Emma Jones in a Harlem hospital. She reportedly never told him the name of his biological father. She later married a Baptist minister named David Baldwin when James was about 3 years old. According to Baldwin, his stepfather called him ugly all of his life. Children teased him and called him frog eyes. The people in his neighborhood called him sorry and said that he would never amount to anything. Baldwin was stereotyped and put in a box. But James Baldwin changed his narrative. He did not allow his external negative circumstances to dictate what his life story would be. He began to read everything he could get his hands on. He literally read his way out of Harlem. In other words, he, in essence, changed the narrative, which in turn changed his life. This narrative change was internal. He did not allow the external expectation to discourage him from the change he needed to make to fulfill his destiny. His change was based on his purpose, his vision for his life, his desires and expectations of himself. And I also learned as I investigated further his faith, which at first glance one would not understand. But there was an inward motivation to change based on a narrative he authored of himself. As I studied deeper into the psyche of James Baldwin, I discovered that he really decided to abandon this notion of self-hate imposed on him by the racism and discrimination that was dominant during his lifetime. But the value of his life as an illustration for this particular conversation is that he changed his narrative. There are others that I'm inspired by, such as Helen Keller, who was both deaf and blind, but became a powerful change agent in our society. She wrote her own narrative. She did not let her handicap define her. Better yet, she did not let the perceptions of her handicap as viewed by society write her narrative. You have the power to write your own narrative. That power comes from God Almighty. He is our creator and sustainer. His plans for you are great. It's time to walk in them. God is real. Obedience to God's will brings a joy, a deep joy, and surpassing peace that ultimately leads to satisfaction. He has a plan and a purpose for you. The way to everlasting change is to allow God to work in you and to just flow with His plan and purpose. You know, let me give you another example. I appreciate the example of the biblical character Paul the Apostle. Although he was not considered one of the original 12 apostles of Jesus Christ, he is considered one of the most important figures of the early church, and one of the 27 books, out of the 27 books in the New Testament, Paul is credited as the author of 13 of them. However, Paul didn't start out this way. He was originally known as Saul of Tarsus. In essence, Paul was actually Saul before God changed his narrative. He persecuted and murdered Christians. Acts chapter 6 reports that Paul was present at the stoning of Stephen, a spirit-filled man of God who had done no wrong. But by Acts chapter 9, the narrative of Paul's life changes. He had an encounter with Jesus Christ, who confronted his character, his actions, his beliefs, his unbelief, and his values. He lost his sight on that road. He was blinded and did not eat for 3 days. A disciple by the name of Ananias was appointed by God before time to lay hands on Paul. After receiving his sight, he began to preach about Jesus was the Christ. But people did not believe that he was changed. He was still identified as Saul, the murderer. But he didn't stop preaching because there was an internal change. He changed his narrative. Therefore, his life was changed. So the book of Galatians says that Paul lived on the backside of the desert for 3 years. And chapter 2 says that after 14 years, he went to the original apostles who then approved his message. All of this was after that encounter in Acts chapter 9 with Jesus on the Damascus Road. But eventually, the people around him accepted his changed life. So the point of the matter is that real change will cause an internal confrontation of who you are, what you have done, what you value, and how you view your life and others. Some people fear this internal struggle. They don't understand how to navigate through this transformation. It's new, it's challenging, and sometimes confusing. Are you going through that right now? Maybe you're going through a change. But change is good. God will allow a situation to cause you to be confronted, just as Paul was confronted, and even James Baldwin. There is someone listening right now who has been confronted with a particular situation due to the changes you're making in your life. But let me encourage you to flow with it. Don't go backwards. If you stay in your comfort zone, I'm telling you, you will not reap the benefits of the change you desire. So, you know, I've been there, done that, thought that it was comfortable and the right thing to do, and then found out that I missed an opportunity. So don't stay there. After a while, that comfort zone will no longer be comfortable. So let me ask you, what is your narrative? Do you want to change directions? Do you want a lasting change? So I guess by now you've discerned that I will ask a lot of questions, but many of you are already dealing with these same questions. So you may be in a negative environment, and the people around you may have already judged you and put you in a box. And there are others around you that have very low expectations of you and your behavior. They no longer believe in you. You may have been betrayed by a trusted friend or a family member. Your circumstances may be overwhelming. You may have lost everything, and you may have experienced a failed relationship, or you may have made some horrible choices. You know, we all do every now and then. Or you may be recovering from a regrettable sin, and you may have lost your job or a career opportunity. Or maybe you have put up walls and suppressed the real essence of who you are. Or maybe you have suppressed a vision that you conceived some years ago. Or you may be dealing with your own personal attitude of negativity. Or maybe your dreams have been crushed. But you can change your narrative. You can't rewrite the past, but you can live and embrace this moment, this day, this present time, as you write the narrative for your tomorrow. You know, several years ago, I became widowed. I would meet people who would express sorrow for my loss. This was okay around the time of my loss because I had experienced a very deep and intense pain in my life. But at some point, it became extremely uncomfortable for me to encounter people who expressed sorrow even years after the event. I made a decision that I did not want to be identified as a grieving widow. I had to set my goals and write my narrative. And the result is a book I wrote entitled Moving Forward, Finding Purpose in Your Pain. I decided that my story going forward would not be a story of pain, loneliness, and grief, but one of purpose, happiness, and joy. As a matter of fact, I'm living out that part of my narrative at this very moment. This podcast was one of my goals, and it is now being fulfilled. So what's your story? What's your narrative? What's your destiny? You can make that change. You can do all things because God will give you the strength, the wisdom, the strategy, the courage. So with that being said, let me give you a few nuggets to assist you along your journey of change. You might want to take out a piece of paper and a pencil and jot this down. Number one, make a commitment to yourself and to God to do whatever it takes to walk through this change. You see, change is a process. If you expect results overnight, you will be sadly disappointed and discouraged. Start this process with the absolute faith in God that you will successfully make this change and it will be wonderful. So the first step to making a lasting change would be to examine and reflect on where you have been, where you are now, and then write down in a detailed and positive manner where you would like to be past this point. That is next month, next year, 5 years or more. So don't worry about people, money, places, or things. What is it you desire for your life? Also write down where you are in your relationship with God and a spiritual growth plan. Is your faith strong? If not, now is the time to build it up by spending extended time in prayer and a study of the scripture and personal worship. There's a scripture, 2 Corinthians 4th chapter, the 13th verse, like in the B portion of that scripture, it says, speak those things that be not as though they were. In other words, speak that change. Speak that it's going to happen. It will come out wonderful. You have to speak it. Death and life lie in the power of the tongue. Don't speak defeat over yourself before you even get started. Make a commitment to yourself and to God that you will go through. Trust God. Believe that He is able. He has all power in His hands. Let Jesus be the Lord of your life. You can still have a secular vocation. You can still have fun and enjoy life. But you need a rock in your life. Someone is something stable and reliable. Something that will keep you grounded when the going gets tough. That rock is your faith in God. I know what I'm talking about. Let me tell you something. If I didn't have God in my life, didn't have faith in God, I know I wouldn't be where I am. All that I've been through, you know, people look at you sometimes and think, wow, you sure are doing well. You know, how do you make it? Well, I'll tell you how I make it. My faith in God. That's my rock. So I've learned that if you only rely on yourself or others, you won't make it through to lasting internal and eternal change. So make a commitment. Then secondly, examine your motive for change. Make a decision to change for yourself, not solely because of other people and their expectations. You see, the motivation to change should be because of your own personal desire to reach an intentional goal. The mindset of those around you may serve as a catalyst to your actions to change, but at the end of the day, the decision to change should come from your inward desire and commitment to reach a goal that you have set, not what they want, not what they say, but what do you want? What do you really want? And furthermore, what does God say? What is God's plan for your life? Philippians 1 and 6 reads, being confident of this, that he who began a good work in you will carry it on to completion until the day of Christ Jesus. And then 1 Thessalonians 5:24 reads, the one who calls you is faithful and he will do it. In other words, you are really not in this alone. What God started in you, he will certainly finish it. So rest assured that a God-appointed change will happen. If God is dealing with you, just get ready because you are about to see a shift in your life. Will this change move you forward? That's something else to consider. Is this change positive? What will make you happy, healthy, and whole? Will this change elevate your quality of life? Will this change bring freedom to your emotions and mental state, or will it bring bondage? You see, you deserve peace and happiness and joy and a measure of prosperity and success. We all deserve a positive and healthy quality of life, but it might require a major shift. So examine your motives. And the third thing is reflect on your life. You know, it's good to look back sometime and see where you've been and what you've gone through and understand your backstory. Because a lot of what we do today is due to our backstory, what happened, what we were exposed to, our experiences. You know, it makes a difference. It really has an effect. Sometimes we overlook that. But still ask yourself the question, is this a self-appointed change? Because maybe you're dissatisfied with something or someone. Or is it a people-appointed change that is a decision to change in order to please someone? Or perhaps a response to criticism? Or maybe something you saw on television or something you read in a book and your desire is to be like that particular person or thing. But it did not stem from a deep desire from your inner man. So in other words, does your desire to make changes in your life come from wholesome motivation or unresolved issues? One of the things to consider as you reflect on your life is the possibility of being influenced by unresolved issues, such as past hurts, low self-worth, bitterness, guilt, shame, and past traumatic experiences, even how we relate to our family, mother and father, things that happen in our childhood, our relationship with our siblings and family and friends. Unresolved issues can hinder the process of change. So the first thing to change could possibly be for some to deal with the unresolved issues. On the contrary, reflect on all the good and the great and fantastic things in your life, your accomplishments, the beautiful friends, the beautiful family, the fun and the awesome experiences. Your life has not been all gloom. You are not a bad person. It's not all negative. You've had a blessed life. You've blessed many people. And many people have been a blessing to you. You've had an awesome job. Let me just make it personal and say that we are blessed. I'm blessed. God is so good. It's time to meditate on the things that are true, that are honest, that are praiseworthy and good in your life. Your life is great. So why even make a change? Just maybe God wants to make it better and more awesome. You might be positioning yourself through this change for elevation in your life. So just flow and grow with it. So now let's examine this. Is this a God-appointed change? As we continue to reflect, as you reflect on your life, that is, sometimes we are compelled to change and move forward by the prompting of the Holy Spirit to become closer to God or to fulfill His purpose and intent for your life. He may be just positioning you for greater. It requires a change. Or you may feel a calling or a special closeness to God or a desire to have a deeper relationship with Him by becoming your best self financially, physically, emotionally, mentally, or your role as a husband or wife, mother or father, family or friend. God can move on our hearts in many ways. So situations can occur in our lives to ignite a fire in us to get up off the couch, turn off the television, and explore life and all of the opportunities it offers. The God-appointed change, you know, obviously is the most lasting and impactful change you could ever experience. And the reason is because when God calls for a change, He supernaturally begins to deal with our heart and mind, our circumstances and emotions. And God will deal with your thoughts until we come to a place of surrender. Otherwise, there'll be no peace. And you'll just have to change if you want peace. So the power of change is to reflect to the point where you understand what is going on so that you can position yourself to move forward. So that's why we need to reflect. Take a look. I mean, dig deep down inside to the essence of who you are. It may be hard. But it's important. It's pertinent to the change, to the lasting change, to lasting transformation. So fourth, change of mind. So in order to change your mind, you have to know your mind so that you will understand your journey and commit to change.
This concludes part one. Stay tuned for part two. See ya.
Thank you for listening to the Christian View Podcast. I am so glad you joined us. Please share this podcast with your friends and family. We would love to hear your feedback. You can contact us on the web at www.thechristianview.org or the Christian View Facebook page or via Twitter and Instagram at pastor_ARJ. We look forward to hearing from you. God bless.